Blog Talk Radio.
Sue Beach on here today. She's going to be our guest. And, you know, I want to welcome everybody to the show. And I'm really, really glad to have a special guest at Sue Beach. And I want to go ahead and get into the Word right quick. It's going to be 2 Corinthians 6:16. I'm going to read a part down here. It says, I will make my home with my people and live among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so the Lord says, you must leave them and separate yourselves from them. Have nothing to do with what is unclean, and I will accept you. I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And all these promises are made to us, my dear friends. So that then let us purify ourselves from anything that makes our bodies and souls unclean, and let us be completely holy by living in reverence for God. So that's a great, great verse from the Word of God. Well, you know, to me, it's talking about you know, we need to keep ourselves holy, keep ourselves from the unclean things of the world. Sometimes we can get in situations kind of like, you know, we can get watching things on TV, it's getting our minds confused with many different things. And we just got to keep ourselves holy. And, you know, I'm sure that God will lead you, and you will have that feeling that's very unclean, you know, to you and to your mind. And I know some things myself, when I had my walk with the Lord, and I'm still doing this, that I noticed that some of the things I watch on TV, some of the things I listen on the radio, I don't anymore, because my soul has a feeling that it don't want to listen to that no more. When you have more of God reappearing in you and expanding in you, it's holy, and it has no connections with things that's not holy. And that's one of the different things with people saved and God's really working in them, that, you know, they're pulled away from things unholy. And you don't want to be around it. A lot of times it ain't, you know, what you want to call, you know, that you're keeping yourself from this. You have no desire to be around that. It's like friends that you was around at one time. You have no desire to be around those friends no more. Places you used to go, like if somebody used to be alcoholic and God saved them and starting to expand himself within the person, they won't want to go to the bar no more. They don't want to, you know, be around people like that no more, because they want to be with holy people. And don't get me wrong, you ain't better than anybody. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're becoming clean inside. And with that cleansingness that the Lord has put in you, it pulls you away from things that's unclean. And anybody that's had their walk with the Lord, I mean, no matter what anybody says, they know this. They feel this. They sense this. And you'll be like that. And a lot of uncleansed people or people that's not living for God, you know, you need to talk to them. And your representation will show them through your life how God is, what God's doing to your life. That's why Christians need to really get into Word, really open God within them, where they can really reflect God and shine themselves to God, you know, to people. It's not in the Word, because when we act like the world, they say they're no different, than they walk away.
Right.
That's one thing, you know, that's why you've got to walk the talk, like they say, Sue.
Yes. Yes.
You got to walk the talk. You can't, you know, you can't act like the world, because when you're doing that, you're not really representing our Lord, you know. And,
right.
That's something the Lord just threw in me at this split second. It's like my eyes hit it right in the Word. I thought, man, I got to do this, you know.
Yes. But if I may add to something that you're just saying, is that one of the greatest, you know, I know we were going to talk about healings and things, but is the fact that the gospel message, the entire message is understanding who we are, and is only by understanding who we are that we have the power to not live that life any longer. As long as people see themselves as a sinner saved by grace, they will continue to sin. But if they see themselves as God sees them, as a child of God, the behavior falls away, exactly as you said. They're no longer attracted to that. And to me, that is the gospel message. That is the greatest healing, is getting people to see themselves as God sees them. And from there, everything else flows.
I see that too, because I've noticed, you know, in some churches they talk about I was raised in the Lutheran church. I love the Lutheran people. I learn a lot from them, but we are sit there saying how sorry sinners we are every Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there saying prayers, I'm a sorry sinner, I'm not worth nothing, and, you know, even the minister said, we've been saying this for years, you know, we're God's children, you know.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, yes, and it's like, yes, how well does that work for people?
Yeah, it don't work. You start seeing people in the congregation going through affairs and going through all types of different things in their life, and families splitting up because they think they're sorry, and they're just going to, you know, react like it. If that's programmed in your head, you know, amount of times, you're going to start manifesting that. And
right.
But, you know, we was all deeply in sin. That's what Jesus died for. He died to cleanse that. And when the Holy Spirit enters into us, he teaches us. He teaches us to walk right, teaches us, you know, the Word in the Bible. And like some people say, when I read the Bible, it don't make no sense. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, comes within me, it all makes sense. You know.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
But it's awesome. Anyway, I'm getting on my preaching box here.
No, that's
off.
Fine.
But anyway, Sue, it's good to have you on the show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you on the show. And, you know, how did your walk with the Lord start? Was it childhood thing, or how did it start there?
Well, yes, I've always known the Lord. I was raised in a legalistic religion, so I was not – I was taught more that God was someone you know, that was in heaven, that judged our behavior, that we asked for things from. And but as a child, I had many supernatural encounters where, you know, I would travel to heaven and I would be with God. And so I knew there was just something, you know, what I was being taught in the church was not what I was experiencing. And I knew from a young age I'd be in what was called, you know, a healing ministry. And when I tried to explain that to my mother or others in the church, they just told me that meant I was going into the medical profession, or, you know, I had a vivid imagination. So I've always known God. It's been a journey of actually going from knowing of Him to knowing Him. But it started in childhood.
It's amazing, you know, how a lot of people know of God, but they don't know Him personally. And the relationship that you really have when you spend an intimate relationship with God, and that's really, I mean, that's what I've always heard from a lot of Christians. They say, you know, that relationship with Christ, with God, your personal relationship is what really matters. And once you really get to know God personally, things start making sense. And, and a lot of us, you know, we have this persona where we just go to church and we hear what they say about God and we take it for what it is, but, you know, there's no personal relationship. And that's something we really got to do. So when did your ministry start? What time of your life did that start?
Well, I've been doing things for the church or for God my whole life, you know, teaching Sunday school, things like that. But I really started in my own ministry 14 years ago when I moved here to Minnesota, and I started teaching in different churches and speaking and really getting into more of a physical healing ministry at that time.
Amen. I'm not even asking you about your family. I mean, how is your family? You got a husband, a few kids, or?
No, I am divorced. I have four children. I had a daughter that died, so I have five children, but I have four living children, and they are all older. I have one son that is still living at home, but the others are out of the house. So.
Okay. That's nice. It's good to have a son around to help you with things, I'm sure.
Yes, it is nice.
Yeah, I got 7-year-old and 8-year-old, and they don't help much, but hopefully one day they will, you know. But,
yeah,
I like to ask about the family. I forgot all about that. I was going to so many things about the ministry. But, you said your ministry started, you know, so many years ago. Okay, about your miracles and working the power of God, because this is kind of what the show's all about. When did your miracles really start manifesting? Was it early in life or later, or?
Well, I've had, as I said, you know, as a child, there were times I would travel to heaven and be with God. So I've experienced a lot of supernatural things. You know, I had an encounter with God when I was 26, where, actually with Jesus, where it was a very low time in my life, and I was going through a divorce and thought of actually taking my life, and Jesus appeared in my room at that time, and again, he pretty much just confirmed what I knew, had known as a child, you know, that I'd be in a healing ministry, and you know, reinforcing the value and the love that he had for me. And it was then was when I first started praying a little bit for people, but I still had no idea that we could do it, how easy it is to actually minister healing to people. And so when I moved here, I went through John G. Lake Ministries. I was certified through them as a healing technician. And I would pray for people, and I was seeing minimal things a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I was seeing a lot in my own family, myself, my children, but not a lot because I didn't have the confidence to step out and mm-hmm. minister to other people. I was trying to do it in my own efforts instead of allowing God to just do it. So it was, about 2 years ago that I just was praying and I asked the Lord, I said, just bring someone alongside me that I can walk beside, someone that's doing this that I can just, step out and get that boldness. And I found Pete Cabrera online, mm-hmm. and I called him, and he brought three other men with him. We came here, we did a healing seminar, and I saw more miracles happening in my living room than I had seen in the past 10 years. I mean, it was amazing what was happening. And it was on from there. It was just, that was it. It was, the boldness mm-hmm. came, the confidence came, the understanding that it's everyone can do this. And then it's been in the last 2 years that I've really seen a lot of major, major healings.
The funniest thing about all this is I know how where Pete got his start out through Raphael. And,
mm-hmm.
and about Raphael himself, he's a kid that didn't know the Bible that much and just ran into it, and God started working through him. And look
right.
what manifested through a boy, just a young boy on the street. All these people was getting help.
Right.
And, it's amazing, man. I mean, I was just watching some of his stuff. I had him on the show a couple of weeks or a month ago or something, and it's pretty amazing. He's like a child lock himself, if you speak to him.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed talking to him. He was cool to hang out, and me and him were telling our crazy heavenly stories that we ran into things. When you walk in the spirit, you see funny things. You can't tell people because, they're like, oh, man, he's strange. He can make this, if you talk to another person like you could, it makes sense,
Right, right. Exactly.
And, you probably had that experience yourself. So,
yes, very few people know a lot of these stories because exactly that. I mean, their mind cannot wrap around things like this. We don't share them very often unless you're around like-minded people or people with similar experiences.
I've had a lot of weird experiences too, but God's always expanding things. Things is always growing, but he stays the same. I mean, his mind stays the same way he thinks about you, me, whoever. He loves you just the same as he did the day he created you. You came
right.
from him.
Right.
So that's the one thing that I think many people have problems with. They think God is sitting there, on his big throne and judging each and every person, and they make God more of a human and then of God.
Right.
And the thing about God is not human. he's all love. I mean, it's hard to understand and comprehend what all love is because we could be negative and positive.
Right.
When you're just all positive and you look everybody in love, then you can understand that, but you have to spend time with him to understand that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes. And people, I think it's shocking to some people that God actually wants a relationship with them, that they
mm-hmm.
were created for relationship with him, that he cares about every little thing in their life. And many people put God in a box where I deal with him on Sundays or I deal with him for an hour in the evening or an hour in the morning. And they have no idea that he wants to be involved in every part of their life all day long, that he's there, that he's waiting, that he's longing to spend time with them. And I mean, this is God, it blows my mind that people don't realize what's available to them. And like I said, they look at him as distant or separate from them when in fact, the word says that we are one with Jesus, that we are not separated. We are never separated from him. And and healing and all of this it's so much easier when people understand that because it's not a special anointing you get. It's not You know, we all have it. It's within us. And it's just seeing ourselves as God sees us and letting that love flow. And then it just happens naturally.
Yeah, it's more of us holding things back than of God.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
A lot of times we put these walls up where, you know, well, I've got to be anointed and I've got to pray 20 times a day. And that's a wall that we build up where,
right.
you know, the power can't work through us. But when we set up these limitations, we have to go through that because we set them limitations up.
Right, exactly.
And if you never did set those limitations up, kind of like Raphael, he had no limitations. He didn't know nothing about it, so the door was wide open.
Right,
but
right.
If you went through, 15, 30 years of going to a church and telling you can't do that and you have to do this and that, you have to go through all those steps for it to happen because you created that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it is much easier, I have found personally, to teach this or speak to a non-believer than it is a Christian, because we as Christians have our own set, you know, we've built these, exactly what you said, these mindsets that now we have to, everything, you know, is going against them, and we have to rethink everything we've been taught. And one of the things we'll do to really demonstrate this when we're doing like a healing service or something, we'll pull the kids up. If there's any kids that are in attendance, we'll pull them up and we'll let them minister healing. These are children that we have no idea where their religious background is. We have, you know, they've not been trained in healing. There's no anointing on them. And they will lay hands and we'll just tell them what to say and people will just get healed. And it shocks the audience. It just shocks them because they're like, wait a minute. This isn't a pastor. This isn't an evangelist. This isn't a, you know, a famous healing minister. And that's what we're trying to get across, is that it's available to all of us. It's in us. It's who we are. It's our inheritance. It's something we all have. We limit God. God is not limiting us.
Amen. Yes. It's just a belief that we put up, and we got to break that boundary down. And
yes.
Like you said, you know, some people that's atheist, and they come to know the Lord, and a lot of times they'll have great success because they have no boundaries.
Right.
And
right.
We start seeing things manifest pretty quick. Now, the School of Sonship, how'd you get in with that?
Well, there's another miracle. I knew I would be doing. It was a miracle how I ended up with my property, but I knew it was God's. It's a resort. I have a old historic lodge, and I knew God would use it for ministry. And then there would be a school here, but I didn't quite know how it was going to come together. The same time, the same year I moved here, the same year Rafael Garcia was given a vision of this place. And the ministry here, and I met him a year ago, February, yes. I had him here speaking, and we were talking, and I did not share my vision of a school, but he started talking about something God had shown him, and I knew instantly we just clicked. It was like, that's it. This is the missing piece. This is the school. So from there, we just, with Eric Wilding, we talked, and it all came together. God showed us how to do it, and we just started the School of Sonship. And Eric and Raphael teach with me, and we hold it once a month here. And, it's been incredible.
That's awesome. Now, was that the P organization that is
Royal Family International.
The Royal Family, yeah. Now, how did you become a member of that when you started doing the School of Sonship, or is it?
No, the Royal Family is actually a group of people who have their own ministries. Most of us have our own, things going on, and we have come together as a body, and we just work together. And when I met Pete 2 years ago, that's when I joined, became a member. It was, we met, we clicked, he saw what I was doing here. We knew we had the same goal, you know, wanting to just set people free and get them walking in this. And that's how, I became a member I think it was 2 years ago.
That's awesome. I saw that Art Montgomery and a bunch of other ones, and Art Thomas, all of them's a member of it. And, they're all some good people. And Art Montgomery, man, I can't tell you how much good he does in his ministry, helping people on the street. And
right.
And I just saw some amazing things. I've had him on here too. He's a real awesome guy. And
he's amazing.
He's a fire chief that went to a roaring holy roller minister, and he kicked that devil's butt all the time.
Oh my gosh, he is on fire. He is so much fun. So much fun. Yeah, amazing, amazing man.
He's fun to talk to, and man, he gets me boosted every time I see one of his videos. He gets me boosted up. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So how's the weather down here at your lodge? I mean, is it, you know?
Oh my goodness. It's right now, I think we're going to hit a high of minus 12 today, and it's probably about minus 21 right now.
Man.
So, yeah.
How's it during the summertime? Is it?
It's beautiful. This has been the worst winter, coldest winter on record. So this is not normal. But the summers are. I've been blessed. I'm on a beautiful lake. You know, it's an incredible property. The summers are fantastic, and it draws people here just for the peace and the quiet. And God just does His thing. I mean, He uses it and does His thing, and I've been blessed to be able to live here and be part of it. So
it's awesome, you know, when you get out on the lake or something like that, it's just that peacefulness that God could actually use that to minister to you and reroute your brain sometimes, because sometimes you're in the hustle and bustle of life and you come out to a wilderness lodge like that or out to a lake like that, and it just redesigns you, because, you know, I don't think our bodies was designed to be in the cities and running here and running to baseball games and all this. We're supposed to be in more of a peaceful life, but you know how things nowadays, we're in that hustle and bustle, and like a wilderness
right.
lodge or something like that really helps us out. And do you have any events coming up at your lodge you can announce or anything?
We do. I have coming up soon here, we have March 10th through the 14th is our next School of Sonship. And that is the way we run that is we limit that to a maximum of 10 students, and Raphael will be here teaching that with me. And we spend, they live together with us in the lodge, so it's one-on-one full week of just training, teaching, hanging out. You know, we teach on identity and inheritance and touch on anything Holy Spirit wants us to. That's coming up March 10th through the 14th. Then I have our women's weekend retreat is March 21st through the 23rd. And then the next big event is June 23rd through the 27th. We'll actually be doing a conference. We're taking the entire resort, and I will have Pete Cabrera, Rafael Garcia, Eric Wilding, Brooke Potter, Jose Coelho, Simon Wilson, and myself will be speaking during that week. That's what I've got scheduled so far.
That's awesome. You know, I really, you know, tell everybody, you know, everybody should come to this event, because, you know, you're going to learn a lot. The Holy Spirit's going to touch you. You're going to learn about the power of God. You're going to learn how to walk in the power of God. And you're going to see some miracles happen around you all weekend long. And I'm sure that, you know, you're the anointing, or however you want to say it, you know, God, you know, Christ that's manifested in you is going to be manifesting on the outside, and you're going to see things happen in your life. And I'm sure everybody gets refueled when they go to that. And they're on fire for God, kind of like Art Montgomery there. He'd be at the street.
Exactly. It's hard. You know, it is hard. What I've noticed with people is it is hard to see a miracle happen before your eyes if you've never seen one. Your mind doesn't know what to do with it. The first time we had a man with metal rods in his back, he had his x-rays here and was able to bend over and touch his toes. People just didn't know what to do with that. They're like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's crazy what God will do. And it's a lot of fun. Where no one ever comes here and doesn't leave. Just, you know, God just messes them up, and they see just incredible things happening in their lives and others. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. God is fun. So,
It's awesome to get to spend time, you know, with God like that and just have fun with him, you know, and see things happen to people, especially see a metal rod disappear or something. That would be really awesome to see.
Oh, it is. And we've had two ladies with scoliosis, and you could actually see their spine straighten as we prayed for them. I think you've seen probably legs grow out, or we had a gentleman that's extremely tall, and he had one foot that was shorter than the other, smaller. He's always had to buy two pair of shoes, and in front of everybody, his foot grew out to the same size. It's just fun. God is just fun. And so people leave here or anywhere where you've seen something like that and it messes you up. You have to do something with what you've just seen. And it opens the door for you to say, maybe everything I thought isn't true. Maybe I need to be open to this. And then God can move. You know, then you can start to see as God sees. And it just all flows from there. It's, you know, really just seeing the world and ourselves and others as God sees us.
I know there's this guy on television, I forgot his name, but he's on Sid Roth's show, and he actually worked in the power of God, and they actually had a school for children that each teacher walked in the power of God, and they kindly put this school together to see what would happen to the kids. So it's more like a private school.
Mm-hmm.
Only for, you know, Christians to bring their kids to the school.
Yes.
And it's one guy that had his son to go there. He was a Muslim or something. He went to this school. I don't know why, but he went. And Jesus got a hold of him, and they said the kid ran through the hall, went outside to the woods, and disappeared, and they was looking for the kid everywhere. And the Muslim dad came in and was like, you know, what's going on? Where's my child? You know, this and that. And sooner or later, they found him out in the woods, and he was talking to Jesus. He said, Cross came to me and was telling me all about myself and this and that. And, now I'm accepting him and stuff like that. And I was like, just think if we had everybody in our schoolhouses, teachers working the power of God, God's awakening them, how would our children be? You know.
Exactly. Because children, the more time you spend with children, it's interesting. They have that connection with God. They have not been taught yet that not to have that. It's very free flowing with them. And I have a friend who's a teacher, and she is limited, obviously, by what you can and cannot say, you know, because, but she will in a roundabout way just talk to her students and say, you know, tell me about when you were younger. Tell me if you ever remember, you know, the things that you remember. She gives them the freedom to go back and remember, and she said it's incredible. Some of them will say, I remember flying. I remember, you know, going somewhere. I think it was heaven. You know, it's if you open that door and someone's not telling you you're crazy or, you know, you have a vivid imagination and you allow children to dream they'll connect with this so quickly. And it, just like you said, then they're walking in this. Then they're laying hands on people and people are getting healed. It's amazing.
It's amazing to see things like that happening, but, you know, right now I really believe that the Lord is really wanting the power of God back in the churches, and
yes.
I think he's really working hard for this and trying to get the ones that's closed the door and trying to sneak some of us in the back way to reveal it.
Yeah.
Even though we might get thrown out, but we'll try anyway, you know. But
yes, you have to be prepared for that. Not everyone's open to it, but
yeah. But go ahead.
No, I've had that experience. Many of us have had that experience, and I had basically was asked to leave, and I had a church come against me simply because I believed God could heal, and they actually accused me of being in a cult, and it was, so yeah, it's not everyone is open to when you come against their beliefs. They would rather hold on to a lie and be just because they don't want to admit that it could be wrong than to be open to the truth. So it's sad, but I think things are changing.
I've had some situations where there'll be some churches that only the minister can do, you know, miracles and wonders, and they don't want nobody else to do it because they're supposed to be the special one. But,
right.
You know, everybody's a special one, not just the minister. And
right.
I think Christ wants all of his people to be able to do this, where sickness will disappear, where the walls of hell starts breaking down. That's what we're here for. We're here to break
exactly.
the walls of hell down.
Yes, yes.
And,
you've got it. You know, you've got it's for me, the big thing is if people would understand there are not special people, exactly what you said. The word says we all have the fullness of God. As Jesus is, so are we. You know, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We can do the things that he did. And, you know, people, if they understood, they can do it too. They don't have to be a pastor. They don't have to be, you know, have a title to do this. They can walk in this. And I see that happening. I think people are waking up to the truth. They're really starting to see this, and it's incredible. At least that's what we're seeing happening up here. You know.
That's it. I really hope, you know, a lot of people come to your seminar, and I'm sure you're gonna have a packed house. And tell Raphael and Emma I said hey.
I will.
And tell Pete to come on my show.
I will. We'll get a hold of him.
Okay. But it's nice to have you on here today, and it's a real blessing to be able to talk to you and learn about your life story and all the all the miracles and stuff you've been, you know, been doing for the Lord and stuff. And I like to say, you know, well done, and keep pressing it ahead, because we need more like you out here. And
thank you.
Getting these schools going and stuff, because, you know, God's people needs us desperately. I mean, it's unreal to knowing how desperate the children of God is right now. I mean, I ran into a lady that was a Presbyterian, and I do lawn care. I have a lawn care service as a ministry, because I help elderly people and people that just don't have nobody do their lawn. And this Presbyterian lady was desperately, spiritually dead almost. I mean, she went to Bible studies, and God just wasn't touching her. And the other ladies was like 86 years old, and she was like 70, and she still didn't know about the Holy Spirit that much. And she's like, and the husband's like, my wife needs help. I don't know what to do, but, you know, whatever you can do, pray for her, whatever. She, you know, I was a minister or whatever. And she told me about, you know, she heard about the Holy Spirit. And I said, do you want to accept Christ right now? I said, I don't know whether your Presbyterian did this or you went through confirmation like I did, because I was a Lutheran too. I understand about the confirmation. I said, but, you know, do you want to accept the Lord now? And she's like, sure, I want to accept the Lord. And we went through a prayer, and I asked the Holy Spirit to hit her. And it hit her, and I saw a great big old smile hit her face.
Wow.
And it's just like she changed in front of my eyes, and then the Holy Spirit sort of bounced off of her, back on me, back on her, like a ball. And I knew something happened, because you'll feel it. I mean, when the Holy Spirit's coming from you or coming through you for God or whatever is going
yeah.
on there, you can feel it happening,
oh, yeah.
transferring. And I had to actually mow the guy's yard or pick up leaves in the guy's yard right next door to her the next day. So I went over there, and I actually started doing the guy's yard. And she's like, thank you. I said, I didn't do nothing. I said, here's your water. Started giving me my buddy waters and stuff. I was like, you don't have to give me nothing. And I said, that was Jesus. That wasn't me.
Wow. Yes.
It's how the Lord can touch you in just many different situations. Like, it's awesome.
Yes, it is. It is. The incredible thing is, for me, as I tell people, is that, you know, you don't need a pulpit. You don't need to actually, like, do a ministry. God needs us everywhere. Your ministry is your life. You can touch people as you did, mowing a lawn or raking or in a grocery store or, you know, wherever you are. Your ministry is your life. And when you understand that, it's who you are. It's who you are 24/7. It's amazing. You can touch people anytime, anywhere. God will use you. It's awesome. So,
you got to remember, the church ain't completely the people. The church is you.
Exactly.
You are the building.
Yes.
You're the building of God. You're a walking church.
Yeah.
When you see yourself as a walking church, then you know
you
ministry,
got it.
You know?
That's it. I like to say it this way. It's like Jesus did not come to be an example for us. He came as an example of us, of what a human being can do with the power of God in them. And, you know, it says we will do what he did and greater things. If people could grab that, you know, and just live their life, yeah, we'd flip the world. It's awesome. So.
It's awesome. Yeah, every time I get ready to shut down the show, we come up with something else, but it's awesome.
Sorry.
it's all good. But, you know, Sue, it's nice talking to you, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, the Lord's going to use you in many other different things you probably don't have idea of, but I'm sure he's going to use you in many different other things. And it's good talking to you today, and we'll have you on the show some other time.
Okay, and thank you, and be blessed.
And God bless you.
Thank you.
And I want to tell everybody else that, you know, come and check out this show every Saturday and every Thursday at 10 a.m. The reason we had a show today, I had something coming up Saturday, so I couldn't really have the show. So Sue was able to come and help me record this show today. And I want to tell everybody about the announcements I had. Anybody wants to call in on these shows, it's 347-996-3615. You want to check out Blog Talk Radio on Blog Talk. I got the website here. It's blogtalkradio.com/locate77. If you want to check out the Facebook page for the Healing Light, it's www.facebook.com/HealingLightShow. And I also want to tell everybody about Art Thomas coming to Catawba County May the 16th and 17th. We might have an 18th. We're trying to find a place to have it at this time. It's called the Empowering of the Holy Spirit Evangelism Training, and we just don't have a place down here right now to have it. If anybody would, any church would be willing to open their doors to this event, I'd be more than willing to work with you. If you need to get a hold of me, it's my number is 828-461-3604, and I'll be more than willing to speak to you about this event. I'll say God bless you all, and I'll see y'all next Thursday.
Prayed for blessings, we prayed for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We prayed for healing, for prosperity. We prayed for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the seven sleepless nights cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise